have a short reflection this week on how we have to keep letting go again and again. I mentioned I was on a self-retreat a couple of weeks ago, and I really feel grateful and lucky that I got to do that and spend some time in practice, just spend some time in sitting meditation and walking meditation, and really for the most part, a continuity of meditation, because I was on my own and not a lot of distractions outside of the beauty of my surroundings, which were really supportive of reflection. And the other day I was looking something up and I found this piece from the Dhammapada. The Dhammapada is a collection of short couplets, short sayings of the Buddha. And this one I really appreciated. Truly, wisdom springs from meditation. Without meditation, wisdom wanes. Having known these two paths of progress and decline, let one conduct oneself so that wisdom may increase. And I feel that's so apropos of what we're doing in our practice. Practice is meditation, practice is paying attention, practice is being present, not just when we're sitting formally or on retreat, but throughout the day, reflecting on our thoughts, reflecting on our challenges, reflecting on difficulties, reflecting on joys, resting in awareness of what's going on. And this reflection I have had, or what's coming up for me over the last few days, few weeks, is the continuity, or how we are always letting go of things. You know, we let go of those things that just don't serve us. We let go of things that we are clinging to or attached to, whether they're pleasant or unpleasant, good or bad. Anytime we're really got our claws locked in on something, it's never a good thing. To cling is to suffer. I came away from a retreat many years ago with that refrain in my mind. And that's the Buddha talks about how this attachment to pleasure, this craving for good, for the pleasant, for sensual pleasure all the time is such a root of our discontent. And so to see where that is coming from, it can be so, so, so subtle, because what's coming up for me right now is this realization of habits. I'm a creature of habit. I'll eat the same thing for breakfast 7 years in a row and not blink an eye. I think maybe I'm lazy, but that's part of it. But I don't have a problem with that. So I tend to fall into habitual patterns in my life, many of which are just pretty neutral, like what I have for breakfast is fine. It's not causing any dukkha. It's not causing any harm. But there are other habits that I notice that I'm doing something because I've always done something. I've done certain things, joined certain organizations, completed certain tasks because I've always done it. And the reasons why I started doing it are lost in the mists of time, but I've started questioning this, going, and why am I doing this? Because it's beginning to become uncomfortable, or it's taking me away from things that I would rather be doing or that I should be doing. And so I've started to come into this place of, what am I holding on to this for? And why am I doing this? You know, and so over the last couple of weeks, I've begun to look at what really must drop away. You know, these old habits and ideas. Because any attachment to anything, for whatever reason, is a hindrance. You know, even to the good stuff, as Ajahn Chah has a quote, which I can't remember, but he says we have to let go of everything. Let go of the pleasant and the unpleasant. Let go of the good and the bad. Whatever we're stuck on, we need to disentangle ourselves from And so if I'm just going through the rote, I mean, habits are necessary. The mind creates, is the capacity for the mind to create habits so that we don't have to think about how to drive a car every time we get in. We do it by habit. We do it, you know, we ride a bike. We don't have to think about, you know, moving each foot and turning the pedals. We know how to do that. But when we go through our lives just kind of habitually doing things, habitually saying yes to things we maybe should say no to, or saying no to things that perhaps we should say yes to, that's when we have to start looking at our actions and saying, you know what? Can I let go of this? And what would that look like? Because for so many of us, these habits are tied up into our sense of self. I was talking to a lot of folks this weekend about that. And I think I was talking about grief last week. And there is that, there was a quote, I think, from Sharon Salzberg, who said, you know, grief is like letting go of reality to a certain extent, or reality becomes molten. And then what do we have to stand on when the earth beneath us is taken away? If I don't do this, then who am I? If I don't show up in this way, what will people think about me? We're fixated on that sense of I, me, and mine, instead of recognizing that maybe we can just let go of the clinging. Instead of getting lost in the identity of what folks will think, or what I will think about myself, maybe I can see where there's clinging and release that. There's obviously a freedom when we can let go of things. We're not carrying so many things. We're not bogged down by so many things, you know? But this sense of changing sometimes never enters our mind until there's some dukkha, until there's some discomfort, and we're invited to pay attention then to that discomfort, however it shows up. You know, and one day we pay attention and recognize we're attached. It's like, oh, this is who I am. This is what I do. I always have to do this. And it's like, no, maybe not. Maybe that's an old story. Maybe it used to serve a purpose. But what can you get rid of? I love Rick Hansen's invitation when he talks about releasing. In talking about renunciation, he talks about, you know, renunciation in the Eightfold Path is part of wise intention. And it's not about renouncing something because we'll be good people if we do, but to see what we're holding on to that doesn't serve us and let it go. And oftentimes, as I said, when we let go of those things that have been such a part of our lives, it can be discombobulating and kind of shaky. So the other side of it is, what can we bring in? You know, is there something else that may serve us better? Maybe nothing. Maybe if I let go of being busy, I can just connect with being still. What would that be like? That might be scary, because what does that mean? What does that look like? What does that say? And instead of getting lost in those fears or those what-ifs or if-onlys, maybe just be. Can we just be? I've read many times this piece that Ajahn Sumedho wrote, and I'm going to read it again because I think it just is so perfect in how it sums up letting go. So let me read this. Ajahn Sumedho is a monk in the Thai forest tradition who has a lot of wisdom in many of his teachings, and like so many human beings, is kind of diluted in other areas. But for this one, he's quite, I think he's quite wise. Let go. The practice of letting go is very effective for minds obsessed by compulsive thinking. You simplify your meditation practice down to two words. Let go. Rather than try to develop this practice and then develop that and achieve this and go into that, understand this and read the suttas, study the Abhidhamma, learn Pali and Sanskrit, the Majjhimaka, the Prajnaparamita, get ordinations in the Vajrayana, Mahayana, write books and become a world-renowned authority on Buddhism. Instead, become the world's expert on Buddhism. Instead of becoming the world's expert on Buddhism and being invited to international Buddhist conferences, let go, let go, let go. I did nothing but this for about 2 years. Every time I tried to understand or figure things out, I'd say, let go, let go, let go, until the desire would fade out. So I'm making it very simple for you to save you from getting caught in incredible amounts of suffering. There's nothing more sorrowful than having to attend international Buddhist conferences. Some of you might have the desire to become the Buddha of the age, radiating love throughout the world. But instead, I suggest just being an earthworm, letting go of the desire to radiate love throughout the world. Just be an earthworm who knows only two words: let go, let go, let go. The important thing in meditation practice is to be constant and resolute, determined to be awakened. This is not to be conceited or foolish, but resolute, even when the going is tough. Remind yourself of the Buddha, the one who knows, of the Dharma, how it is, and the Sangha, and stay with letting go of despair, of anguish, letting go of pain and doubt, and everything that arises and passes that we habitually cling to and identify this. Keep this letting go like a constant refrain in your mind, so it just pops up on your own, no matter where you are. And I find that a really helpful piece of advice. Keep that idea of letting go constant, you know? You can walk around during the day with that refrain, let go, let go, let go, so that it's not a task to remember, but it pops up when you're faced with something. It's like, oh, maybe I can let go. Maybe I can let go of this. Maybe I can let go of that. And we can let go of everything. You know? Especially if you're miserable. Investigate. What are you holding on to? What story? What habit? You know, if you can figure this out, perhaps the misery will end. It doesn't mean it won't be uncomfortable, because that's one of the myths that we're stuck to. If we do it right, then there won't be pain. Then everything will be, you know, popcorn and potato chips for the rest of our days. But instead, we have to recognize that things happen. There is suffering, there's death, there are all these experiences that are unpleasant, just as there are all these joyful experiences. And how do we hold them all? We let go of thinking it's supposed to be a certain way, and instead turn to letting it be what it is. The wisdom to be with, sati. The wisdom of resting in this wide open awareness. You know, just be, just let go. I had a friend who was talking about a line from a book she had read. I don't remember the author, but she's had a lot of change in her life over the last year. And she said this question really spoke to her. What if you were called to let go of what you thought you were? What if you were called to let go of what you thought you were? That's the question. That's the practice we're asked to do, to be resolute. Just let go. What would it be like to let go? We have such fixed ideas, and they can cause so much harm. So much discomfort, so much dukkha. I invite you to let go a little bit at a time or a lot at a time, whatever makes sense. Let go, let go, let go. And as always, Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, my friends, for being here. I so appreciate each and every one of you. I so appreciate all y'all out there in podcast land. Love you, all my pod people. And as always, I take, just want to let you know that I take suggestions, questions, requests. Yeah, so drop me a note. Send me some DM on social media, and I wish you all well. Be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, and much love. Thank you for visiting Undefended Dharma. These teachings are freely offered. However, if you would like to make a donation to help support the technology that makes these podcasts possible, please visit marystankavich.org/support. Thank you.